Okay, yesterday we started learning the dinim of Kibud Av V'Aim. How far the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Aim goes. And Hashem says, when not your parents, I consider as if I'm amongst you, because we said the three partners in the creation of man. Now we learned that Moira, fear, doesn't mean fear that they're going to hit you, but respect of a parent means you shouldn't sit in their place, which is designated for them. You shouldn't stand in their place, which is designated for them. You shouldn't contradict their words. So then the Poskim discuss what happens in learning. Are you allowed to disagree with your father in learning? So the Poskim write, in front of his face, you're not allowed to disagree with him. But not in the front of his face, like you find in the Gemara, many, many sages argue on their parents. The Rambam in Hilchos Shechita brings down, my father is from those who permit and I don't. The Rosh in the Tur was the son of the Rosh, they always argued. So they say, obviously, that you're allowed to argue in learning and disagree with them as long as it's not in front of them. In front of them, you're not allowed to say, I disagree with you. No, even one-on-one you would be allowed to if nobody else is there.
But not in public.
Not in public. That's as far as fear goes. Now, what's called honoring a parent, kovid, kabed esavicha vesimecha? So it says like this, you have to feed them, give them to drink, dress them, take them in and out, and also always do it with a cheerful countenance. Because it says you can feed them the best food, but if you do it with a disrespectful face, you're still punished. Now, there's a lot of interesting shyness with this din. Whose money do you have to do it with? In other words, if you have to support your parents, you have to feed them and get them things. Do you get it from their money or from your money? So there's an argument in the Gemara. The halacha is, if they have money, you don't have to spend your own money. You can spend they could spend their money. But you have to help them get the food if they can't get it, and the drink, and the clothing, and the coverings, and so on and so forth.
What if there's a difference of opinion? They're getting out of your skin.
Well, that's a joke. Get out of town. No, there's an interesting shaila. This, by the way, happens a lot. A doctor says to an older patient, you're not allowed to eat this food. You're not allowed to smoke. You're not allowed, whatever the food is. And the father tells the son, I want you to get me a cigarette. I want you to buy me herring, which is very salty. And the doctor says, you're not allowed to eat herring. Or anything like that. So now the shaila is, who do you listen to? Should you listen to the father because the father says to you, I want it? Or do you listen to the doctor who says it's... So they say like this, Alpidin, you have to listen to the doctor, not to the father. But some poskim, like the Birka Yosef, which the Chida holds, that if it's not a sakana, if it's not dangerous to the father, giving him the food, then you should give it to him. But Lepera, most opinions disagree with that, and they say if a doctor says no, it's no. A doctor says the parent is not allowed to drink or smoke or whatever, you know, and the father says, get it for me. And if not, he says, I will never forgive you. It goes even more. The father says, I will never forgive you if you don't get it for me. Then you still listen to the doctor, not to the parent.
Sometimes they don't even want to take the medicine. They don't take it.
Nope. Now, what happens if the parents don't have money? So then the children have to support the parents. Okay? But now the question is a whole discussion, halacha. Do you divide it equally? Let's say there's five kids. Do you divide it equally amongst the five kids? Every kid, let's say they need $100. So each kid has to give $20 a week. Or do you say, no, this kid has more money. They should give more, a bigger share. Less money, less a share. So, some poskim write that you go, if the person has more money, they have to give a bigger share. And the same thing applies to, let's say, a wife has refused to be supported by the husband, the children have an obligation to support her.
But the first one has to give double?
No, the first one doesn't have to give double. He gets double. He doesn't give double. But I'm saying if the first son is wealthier and the other one's not so wealthy, he should give more. The question, how enforceable is that, basically? Because can Beis Din enforce it or not? This is a separate issue. Okay, next. Now, this is the classic famous example in the Gemara. What happens if your parents are sleeping and there's a key to an expensive jewel under the pillows? And so the din is, even though you're going to make a lot of money, but you don't have to, or you're going to lose a lot of money, you're not allowed to wake them up. But if the father would gain money by it, then you're allowed to, because that's definitely what the father would want. The father would want to be woken up. I'll give you another example. It's brought down in Poskim. A father takes a nap Shabbos afternoon, and it comes time for Mincha, and the father's still sleeping. Can a son wake up the father and tell him, listen, it's time to go to shul? So the halacha is, if you know the father would want to be woken up to go to shul, then halachically you have to wake him. If you know he doesn't want to go to shul, then you don't wake him. But in other words, you because he wants to be woken, so that's part of kibud av
va'em. Sometimes you make a phone call and you're asleep. They say, oh, I just woke me up.
So you're sorry, what should you do?
That's it.
Did he leave?
I mean, he's here.
Yeah, but
get him.
Yeah. Oh. Mendel left or not?
Why, is it 10?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I didn't hear.
Some guy's left. Okay, now. Now you have another question. You're supposed to, halachically, says when your father walks into the room, you're supposed to stand up. Well, your mother, walk into the room, you're supposed to stand up. The reason why it's not done today, at least in Ashkenazi, he's coming?
I said, forget about it, I'm going home. No, he's coming.
At least in Ashkenazic circles, it's not usually done. Because we assume the father is ma'achol, he forgives it, and he doesn't want you to stand up. But technically, if father walks into the room, mother walks into the room, you have an obligation to stand up. Now there's a question like this. What happens if the son is a bigger scholar than the father? So who gets up for whom? Because for a scholar, you also have to stand up. So now the question is, the father is a father, but he's not as big as a scholar as the son. Yeah, so who stands up for whom? So it says, in Shulchan Aruch it says, they both get up for each other. Okay? And it's brought down, the Rosh brings down, that from the time the Meram Rutenberg, who was one of the guys that organized Tesis the way we have it today, the Meram Rutenberg, when he became the great head of the Jewish people, he didn't go see his father anymore, and he asked his father not to come to him, because then it would be an issue who should stand up for whom. So he said, you know what? Please don't come, and I'm not going, and you don't come to me, and that's it. There's a very interesting story when the Rebbe had a melamed, a teacher, when the Rebbe was in Cheder. How old the Rebbe was exactly when he, probably 9, 10. It was a chassid Rebbe, Zalman Valenkin. And when he finally came out of Russia, he went into the Rebbe for Yechidus. There's a kid the guy that taught the Rebbe when he was a kid, not that even after Bar Mitzvah, the Rebbe was learning with his father already. He was a kid under Bar Mitzvah. So this Chosid came into Yechidus, and the Rebbe stood up for him as his teacher. The Rebbe stood up, and the Rebbe told his teacher to sit, and he said, no, you sit. So the way the story goes, they both ended up standing. Neither of them wanted to sit down because of the other one. Then later he went in extra time that Rebbe sat and he sat and it was okay. Now, bottom line is that the Poskim bring down, Moshe Bikur Yosef brings down that, or the Rosh used to stand up for his son, Rabbi Yechiel, who was also a big Talmud Chacham, not greater than the Rosh, obviously. But most people, the practical halacha is that the son stands up for the father. I said that. The father, the Meramid Utmer, told us that there are times, G'daylim, actually, because of this halacha, it shows how great they were, as much as they wanted to see the father, and the father wanted to see the son, but because it would be a halachic problem, they didn't do it.
What if your Rav is present?
Huh?
What if your Rav is present? Your father and the Rav.
So it depends. If the Rav teaches you and your father doesn't, the Rav comes before the teacher comes before the parent. If the parent also teaches you Torah, then they come first. The reason for that is, says in Shchnoch from the Gemara, that the Rebbe brings you to Olam Haba. The father brought you into this world. Olam Haba is greater than Olam Hazeh. So therefore, if it's a question of father or Moshe, then the Mishnah says, you find a lost article of your father, lost article of your teacher. Who do you give it back first to? I mean, who should you... So over there, the Rav comes first. But it says, if your parent also taught you Torah, so then he did two things. He brought you into this world and into the next world, so then he comes before the Rav.
Once you stand up for them, you can't sit?
No, you're allowed to sit.
So then why couldn't they meet up?
You mean, okay, one, two, three.
They're all up. They're standing. They meet each other while they're standing.
Huh?
They meet each other while they're standing.
They were just standing and talking.
And they sit down.
And they didn't. Later on, he said. There's a guy, Zalman Yaffe. He wrote a lot of diaries when he was by the Rebbe for Shavuos. And this first time he came to the Rebbe, he came to Yechidus. The Rebbe told him, take a seat. You know, there's the chairs in the Rebbe's room. A lot of people, the Rebbe said, you know, especially non-Lubavitchers or Choshev and Rabbanim. You know, the Rebbe would say, Chassidim wouldn't sit. Chassidim, I mean, I can't say Chassidim. The Bachrim, in my times, never sat if the Rebbe B'chal was in the room, even if the Rebbe was sitting. Well, in my times, none of my...
Hofer Bengen,
we stood. The B'chal, we always stood by Hofer Bengen. Later on, the Bachum would sit because they couldn't hear, because Hol Yom Kippur, we stood. As long as the Rebbe was in the room, we never sat. No, always, we never, not me, all the guys. We never sat as long as the Rebbe was in the room, even if the Rebbe was sitting. That's the, okay, that was a craziness we had. I mean, halachically, it's not the, wasn't an issue. Anyway, so this guy comes into the Rebbe for Yechidus, and the Rebbe tells him to take a seat. So he says, no. So he came from England, and there's a big chassid that I've been seeing Shemtiv. It was the grandfather of all the Shemtivs running around. So he says to the Rebbe, Rabbi Shemtiv said I should not sit. So the Rebbe told him, sit, I won't tell him that you sat. The Rebbe told him, sit, I won't tell him that you sat. Okay.
The
Rebbe had a very good sense of humor. B'chal, it's like, you know, some people always say the wrong thing at the wrong time. The Rebbe always said the right thing at the right time. There was a guy who was in Yechidus for a long time. And Rabbi Groner wanted to pull him out, but he was taking too much time of the Rebbe. And the guy was getting agitated. So the Rebbe turned to the guy, and he says, he doesn't want you to leave. He wants you to come again. There's millions of things. It's pushing the way it worked. It was unbelievable. Okay, last bin is like this. What happens if you're running a business? We mentioned it the other day in passing. You run the business one way. It's not your father's business, but he tells you how to run the business. So the Lord, do I have to listen to my father if he's telling me to do this? If it's my business, then I don't want to do that. I want to do it a different way. So the Lord says you don't have to listen to him. It's your business. It can't be disrespectful. That's a given. But halachically, you don't listen to the Ben because it's your business. You run it the way you have to run it. He has no right to mix in how you should run the business. Okay.